Hana.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine. I just walked in the door. Just made it in time. I'm going to go ahead and mute because I'm going to look for my handout.
Okay.
Okay.
Ruby. Thank
Good
you.
Evening.
Good evening, Hanak.
Hope you're well.
I am. I'm doing okay. Can't complain.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoas. Anabakoa Gedula Chimincha Ta Alephet Gimel Yud Taf Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Rapa Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Givavat Shamreim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The letters of the month of Heshvan, the Dalet, that created the planet being the planet Mars, and the Nun that created the constellation Akrav, the astrological sign of Scorpio. Together, the Dalet and the Nun spell the Hebrew word Din, which means judgment. Barhem tacharem rachame sitacha tamid gamlem betet resh saditaf gimel Chasin kadosh v'ro tucha na'el adata Chet kufet tet nunayin Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei Zokre kedushata Yud gimel lamed Hey Zion Kuf. Shabbat Shalom Shabbat Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumo Kin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we are going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to separate between the positive and the negative aspects of that creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Nosayawon vafesha vechata'a v'nake. Now we're going to read from various verses of the Tanakh that connect us to the years. This year of 5777, the year of the goat, and some previous years. There are two verses that connect to 5777. The first one is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyavai chinam. The first letters of those five words can be permutated into three Hebrew words, satskiach, which translates as appear like brothers. The final letters of the five words of the verse can be permutated into two Hebrew words, dir yam, and these two words are translated as a sea of tenants. There is a verse in Joshua chapter 23, verse 8, that has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, within the verse, but the letters are separated by seven letters each. Kim Badonai Yohewahe Elohechem Hadevaku Kaasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now we're going to read two verses that connect to the year 5776, the year of the pause. Whenever life seems overwhelming to you and you need a pause, these two verses are good to say. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat v'lo yachlu lehafshit et kol ha-olot v'yechaskum Achechem ha-levim ad kelot hamlacha v'yad yitkadshu ha-kohanim ki ha-levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to commute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yola Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Rekaha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 is the second of these two verses that connect to 5776. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Sur Olamim. There are three verses that connect to the year 5775, the year that would potentially death was swallowed forever. And for some, that did happen. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishemi meni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu. Mikol ha-machavoiya Asher yidchabe sham v'shavtem Eilai el nachon V'halakti yidchem V'chayayim yashno v'aretz v'chipasti Oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. The third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Tegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayom. The verse 5770, the year 5774, is only one verse, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom liami li Israel untati vishakan. Tachta v'lo yirgaz od below Yosifu. Bnei Avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. The energy of that year was peace in the Middle East. And we need to keep saying this verse to keep the ceasefire in the southern part of the modern state of Israel in place and ultimately to expand it so that it covers all of the borders of Israel. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. This is Pasuk has the energy of certainty. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu V'yakta L'Shem Yud He B'vav He V'yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adenu kananei aleinu maasei adenu kananehu. Rabbi Abba amar v'ka amatar tameinan dekucha barichu olma deyaved le'eila vitata kolaihu tishot v'yovada dikshot Veleid lach mila v'alma divaye parnash ledachya leya mimeya ulan haga beya kelana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun v'kola itzterich v'alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left this evening and tomorrow, the 21st day of Cheshvan, Rabbi Betzalel ben Rabbi Abraham Stern, Rabbi Yechia Halevi Alshich, Rabbi Eliezer HaKohen of Shochoto, Rabbi David ben Zimra the Radbaz, Rabbi Abraham Azulai. Rabbi Azulai is the author of the Sefer Chesed L'Avraham, which deals with many subjects in Kabbalah that are not dealt with anywhere else. Rabbi David Shlomo Ebshitz of Soroka. Rabbi Yisachar Ber of Podchites, Rabbi Elazar HaKohen of Poltosk, and Rabbi Moshe of Shitcheldin. And the eighth verse of the Anah B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. You can find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. On row 16, the right-hand column, it's Rabbi Ashlag's essays. When you open that up, scroll down to essay number 23. The title of this essay is Remembering. Remembering and forgetting, keeping and losing. During the exile, considered the female world, the work is in keeping, and one who flaws one's work might lose what he is given. And Devakut, the adhesion to the Creator, in this world is by the force of keeping, and the adornment of the force of keeping is by the elevation of the emotion, as well as the elevation of his wholeness and the strength of his Devakut. And I am adding, many of these terms are not clearly defined within the consciousness of the reader. The most important of these terms is strength of Devakut, which comes from the keeping of the mitzvot. And the keeping of the mitzvot causes the elevation of the emotions. Continuing to read. However, in the future there will be no fear of loss and theft, for death shall be swallowed up forever. And here the work is limited to remembering. And although accordingly one form should have sufficed, the nature of the body is to grow tired of the same form. Hence forms must be dressed and undressed, one at a time. So the body will appear to have a different form at a time, to increase the desire. This is similar to blocking the horse's eyes while it is circling the grindstone, so as not to tire it. This is most profound and grave, since it is simple. His will from the servant is the most praiseworthy. Also, it is known that the closer the work is to nature, the better it is. The rule is that if one of the two lovers, love increases to a complete and utter measure, meaning natural and complete, the whole force of love will quench in the other. And although his reason will evidently show the lover's measure of love, his ability to love his friend in return will not grow at all. Moreover, according to the sensation of the totality of the lover, the sense of love will gradually die out in him. For he will not fear him, as his love is absolute. For this reason, the measure of spirituality, the love and the nature of the loved subject, will be annulled and corrupted. And I am adding, please mute your phones because I'm getting background noises by pressing *6. And I am adding, unrequited love never works because no circuit of energy is created. This then creates corruption in the holder of the unrequited love. Indeed, his will is to proclaim his love, yet allow room for expanding the boundaries of love. And I am adding, in the above sentence, the pronoun his is Hashem. The pasuk is describing a paradox, which Hashem can handle, but human beings are not yet able to handle. These two are opposites, since when his love becomes known, it acquires a mandatory form, like perfect and natural love. Hence there is zero room for work to expand the love, since the complete and loyal lover is dissatisfied with the reward of the loved one in return for his love. As it is written, if you are right, what will you give him? Moreover, when the loved one feels that his lover has a desire to love him in return for some reward, that place becomes deficient. This is so because when there is a desire for reward, his love changes when the reward is absent. Thus, the love is not absolute. For this reason, it is not complete and natural, but conditional. And when the condition is canceled, the love is canceled, as in a vision of peace, and there is no peace. And I am adding, there is a clear spiritual principle being revealed above. To have peace, one must have a vision of peace that does not change, no matter the changing circumstances. This goes against conventional wisdom, which says one needs to change as circumstance changes. Remember, Hashem does not change. Continuing to read. It is evidently known that the damned does not cleave to the blessed, as it is written, will give wisdom to the wise, and the servitude in adding and expanding the wholeness does not relate at all to one who is deficient, but to the truly complete worker. And to the complete worker, it seems that he has no room for work at all. And I am adding, what is the meaning of no room for work? Actually, there is no complete worker. If there were a complete worker, then his work would be to appreciate the pleasures that he interacts with. This is the meaning of the remembering, such as when one tells one's loving friend, here is a bag full of gems to show my love. In this way, the loved one strains to accurately count the sum of gems in order to reveal the love in his own heart also. In this way, the love itself does not change at all when his work is not counted, since he already has it. However, to return some reward to the one who loves him, he touches the gems extensively in order to be rewarded with always showing the great measure of the love. In this way, the feelings of love always reach from one to the other and multiply, while the essence has not changed. This is the meaning of adopting different combinations. Although the essence is the same, to not lose or corrupt even a tiny spark of the potential divulgence of the hidden forces that always exist in the matter. It appears in new combinations each time, which the physical eye has never seen. By that, the matter tastes a new flavor and harnesses itself to suffer and return always and forever. This is similar to many meals from which the matter is satisfied and wishes to duplicate that form many times, or to couplings, since new flavors are always available for it. Now you understand the association of matter in a body and soul. Due to the matter in which forgetfulness is rooted, and even worse, by quenching any kind of absolute love, by that it gives the soul room for mandatory work, meaning to return in different combinations every time. Otherwise, the flaw will reach the soul as well, because of the mask in the roots of matter. And even though the love itself is perfect and complete, it is seemingly covered due to the matter. And by being compelled to return and repeat, the additions increase beyond the fund, and the boundaries of love are wondrously expanded. Now you understand the meaning of the third generation may enter into the assembly of the Lord. In the first generation, there was the klipah, the negative shell of the Egyptian, as though the place was too narrow. This is because although the lover and the loved one are in the desirable wholeness, they lack the room in which to expand and multiply. Since due to the suction of matter, the soul must disclose the love in matter also. There is no solution for it except to evidently show his love with great work and great force, since the matter has no other language but emotions. Hence, to the extent of his emotions, his love finds itself compelled to return reward with sublime work and great force. Therefore, when the soul feels his complete and utter love, unconditioned by anything, the work of the matter falls entirely, for one does not pay for nothing. This is a law in the physical nature, for making room, etc. Hence, at that time, the substance strains with its gratitude and subjugation, according to its feelings, meaning repeatedly praising and thanking. And according to the above mentioned, the matter grows weary of the first combination and the first flavor, and this causes him diminution of sensation, and hence diminution of gratitude until he stops even this tiny work. And since he remains without work and sees the absolute love, he places the klipa of the Egyptian from the perspective of the upper one. Subsequently, in the second generation, there was the exact same klipa as in the first generation, with the added klipa of the Edomites, meaning to not return or repeat at all, as was the custom in the first generation, which nonetheless had a good reason to disclose the feeling from the gratitude. But the third generation that are born unto them may enter into the assembly of the Lord. For in the third generation that place is revealed. That is, in the holy Atik, the ark cover was regarded as the mercy seat, and the two were sensed together. This means that making a place for work promptly reveals a great measure of the light of love, that henceforth he will know that the prevention of returning a reward prevents the light of love. For this reason, he exerts on until he finds the return of the reward, even when he is in a state of wholeness. For he must, against his will, resolve the riddle from the whole, and there is none who is whole. And henceforth, he is a tool ready for work. We could say that there is room for the complete worker to serve in other bodies, to complement them, for this is not completeness in nature. For nature mandates revealing, meaning the actual returning of the reward, so he will not be dependent upon the view of others, and least he will be not be found, etc. But one who finds servitude in himself is always serving God and never rests. And to that extent, that light of his love is always endless, never ending. My commentary. In truth, I find it difficult to follow Rabbi Ashlag's discussion for the last few paragraphs. 2 points. Two points to each aspiration, one in absence and the other from satiation onward. The difference between them is that the aspiration, and that stems from fear of absence, while soaring to the highest levels, to the choicest, still, when weary, he settles for the poorest of the poor and eats to satiation, and to cover atik so it will not be absent. But the aspiration that stems from the point of satiation, meaning that he will not be deficient whatsoever without it, at that time he is not content with little whatsoever. and aspires only to the choicest in reality. And if it is not in that measure, but is rather ordinary, he will not want to work and toil for it at all. For example, one who is leaning toward playing music is deficient until he acquires it. He will not rest until he has acquired a certain measure of ability to play. And even if he is told that he has no hope of becoming a renowned musician, but only a common one, he will still not give up his aspiration and will settle for less, exerting to at least acquiring the little he can acquire. But one who has no inclination toward playing music to begin with and feels no hunger for this knowledge, should a musician approach him and tell him that he should exert over this lore, he will reply to him, even before he has completed his question, "I have no doubt that I will not achieve greatness in this teaching, and to be a common player is the world deficient without me." Indeed, it is embedded by his providence over man that any aspiration that emerges after the point of satiation will not be desirable except for the choicest at that time. By that you will understand a profound matter, that although the generations are declining in value, they are expanding in desired deficiency. And the final correction, it is so because the first generations who were as people, they themselves had a great and awful deficiency in the prevention of godly works. For this reason, their aspiration to serve him emerge from their deficiency. Hence, they did not expand in their aspiration for fear of losing it entirely, and they were happy and content with the little that they attained. This is why they had small and short movements in their work, for because of their recognition of the great value, they settled for little. This is the meaning of the declining merit of the generations until they arrived at the final shrinkage in our generation. When author's wisdom is foul and they who fear sin are loath, in that state the crowd feels content and are not obliged to God's work at all, nor feel any lack in its absence. Even those who do engage in work, it is merely out of habit. They have no thirst or aspiration to finding any speck of knowledge in their work. And should a sage tell them, "Come, let me teach you wisdom, to understand and to instruct in the word of God," they will promptly reply, "I already know that I will not be as Rashbi and his friends, and let things stay as they are, and I wish I could observe the literal in full. However, it is said about them, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth grow blunt, for they engage in Torah and mitzvot that are unripe, and their children's teeth will grow utterly blunt, and they wonder why they need this work. It is for you and not for him. And you too blunt its teeth. This is the form of our generation with which we are dealing. But with what is written and explained above, you will understand that in this melting pot, we can be very hopeful, because henceforth, each learned one whose heart is yearning for the work of God will not be at all among those who are content with less, since a point of his aspiration does not emerge from absence, but from the point of satiation. For this reason, all who come to cling to the Torah and mitzvot will not settle for anything less than being the first in the generation, meaning to actually know his God. He will not want to waste his energy on the work of common folk at all, but only on the choicest. True nearness to God, and to know in his mind that the Creator has chosen him. Indeed, in our generation, we do not find true workers, except for those chosen few who have already been endowed with a godly soul, a part of God above. It is as the poet wrote, "My knee is pure, extending from cistern streams. The name of the one who chose you to walk before you, before him, etc. You are before him as are all who stand before him, who approach the Lord. My knee, you know the will of the like-minded, the name of knowing your will and paying each moment. But they who have not attained this horrible and exalted merit have no love or fear at all in the work. This was not so in previous generations whatsoever, since the servants of the Creator did not aspire for such a high level at all, and each one served the Creator as he understood. By that you will understand that the correction actually began prior to the reception of the Torah in the generation of the desert. This is why there was a great awakening in that generation. It is our wish to see our king, as it is written in the Midrash. But then they sinned, meaning settled for a messenger, saying, 'You will speak to us, and we will listen. And let God not speak to us, lest we die.' This is the meaning of the breaking of the tablets and all the exiles. But in the generation of the Mashiach, this matter will be corrected, because that awakening will return, and when they attain him, they will no longer sin, because they have already suffered doubly for all their sins. The desired goal is none other than the choicest. This is the meaning of, 'And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them to the greatest of them.' This will be the first condition for all who begin the work. My words do not relate to those who settle for working and laboring to benefit people, and much less so for satisfying their contemptible cravings. Rather, it is for those who feel that it is not worthwhile to toil for people, but only for the Creator. It is so because there are many factions to Judgment Day. One, to satisfy material passions. Two, to benefit people. Three, to improve their own knowledge or that of others. But all these are forces of concealment of the face, for they are all as nothing compared to the merit of the Creator of us. My commentary. The above paragraph is shocking to most people. The study of Kabbalah, keeping people in a level of concealment of the face, is truly shocking. Is it true? One of my teachers have said frequently that few people understand their teachings, and that most are there taking up space. Yet it is easy to change this shocking truth by changing your consciousness to do all actions for the merit of the Creator. Please hold on a second. I'm going to stop here. We don't have enough time to finish the whole of the essay. And this is an appropriate place to make that stop. Does anyone have any questions? We will have a mini class tomorrow at 4:30. And at 7 o'clock, we will have our class in the Talmud Esser Sefirot, the study of the 10 Sefirot. Wednesday, we will have a mini Zohar class at 4:30. And at 7 o'clock, our normal questions and answers period. There are no classes on Thursday unless I hear from people they would like a 7 o'clock Zohar class. Saturday at 6 o'clock will be a Havdalah ceremony. And at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class in the new week. Sunday at 10:30, there will be a new series of classes beginning. And at 2 o'clock West Coast time will be a continuation of our basic classes. I bid shalom to everyone. Have a beautiful evening and a beautiful week and a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.